Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, June 4th, 2018, and I am at Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference in San Jose with Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am great, Jeff. Thanks for inviting me to your room to do this podcast.
Yeah, well, you know, I like to think of it as we're live together in the studio.
We are, yes. I can confirm that.
Yes. And we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Jamf, which is pretty great. I'm actually using their products to not only manage my own iPhones and iPads and Macs, but my parents as well.
Cool. Yeah. We have, in addition to Jamf, we have Carbon Copy Cloner, iMazing, Smile, and Eero sponsoring all of our WWDC coverage this week. So great folks, and it really makes this possible. So, keynote today.
Yes. Yes. So, what do you think about the keynote? I mean, Apple did announce a lot of stuff.
They made it all about the software, right? And I think it was, it used to be that one could say Apple does not announce hardware at WWDC.
And yes, I remember those days.
Right. And there was, you know, notable exceptions to that. But for the most part, it was true. But that was in the days when they did a lot more events off cycle, but also did Macworld, where software and hardware both were announced. Mm-hmm. These days, of course, we've seen a lot of hardware announced at WWDC, but not today.
No. And Tim made it clear.
Yep.
Right at the beginning. And I think a lot of people may have missed what he said. Right up front, he said, this is all about the software.
All about the software. And sure enough, it was. And then they proceeded to spend, you know, almost the first hour on iOS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. iOS got an hour. WatchOS then got 20 minutes. tvOS got 10. And then macOS got about 25 minutes was my breakdown on this today.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So the thing that struck me about and we have just literally just finished watching the keynote, seeing the keynote. The State of the Union has not happened yet. John Braun and I will be sort of dissecting that on Mac Geek Gab later today, because that really is keynote part two, especially when it comes to software.
Well, Dave, after you get Mac Geek Gab posted, I will link back to it in today's show notes.
So awesome.
People have an easy way to find that.
But iOS, you know, one of the first things they said was iOS 12 will run on all the same hardware that iOS 11 runs on, mm-hmm. which is cool. And that there are more than just performance features, but they led with performance features in iOS 12, performance and improvements,
right.
which was such a refreshing thing to me, because iOS 11, even iOS 10, you know, things were not entirely stable. It took them a long time. In fact, it was just weeks ago, literally. Less than a week ago, that we finally got all of the features, i.e. AirPlay 2 and messages in the cloud, mm-hmm. that we were promised for iOS 11 last WWDC.
Yeah. So I'm glad that Apple was able to actually provide last year's features before this year's keynote.
Yes, but only by a matter. I mean, it could be measured in hours, right?
Yeah.
I mean, lots of hours, but, you know, days really is the right thing. So it was really refreshing to hear them come out and effectively say, we are going to tell you about the performance improvements in iOS 11.5, except they just didn't call it iOS 11.5 for marketing purposes, because they are now beholden to this new revision every year thing. Fine, we'll call it iOS 12, mm-hmm. but it really is iOS 11.5 as far as I'm concerned.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It really felt like what Apple did was took iOS 11 and said, all right, so what are the other refinements and improvements that we can make so that iOS 11 is the operating system we wish we could have released a year ago?
Right. Right. Well, or that we need to iterate upon.
Sure.
Right. You know, there's no massive UI changes. There's no, like, it's still going to feel like the iOS that we all know and use today. It runs on everything that the iOS that we all know and use today runs on. It is, you know, essentially a Snow Leopard type update to iOS. And I really, like, I can't stress enough how important I think that is. And they say that things run faster. In fact, they showed some benchmarks. Obviously, we'll all see as we get it. But I'm really excited about that. And then they added some cool features, right? The AR kit enhancements with, like, the Measure app. Yep.
But I like how you have already given Measure a new status.
Right. So, kids, you can ask your parents what the term Sherlocked means. But Apple today, with the new Measure app, basically invalidated all of the free and paid apps that are using ARKit or even not using ARKit to provide measurements. And so we can say Apple measured all of those apps. And like I said, kids, you can ask your parents how that relates to Sherlocking things. But there was that. But also ARKit too, right, with shared what was the term they used? Shared environments, I guess. Was
it shared environment? Shared experience?
Shared experiences, yeah. Which is cool, right? And it really makes me think, okay, so this is what ARKit 2 is, which means you can not only have two people playing a game against each other and both experiencing this shared augmented reality environment together, but you can have bystanders seeing that environment as these people, you know, two people are playing game head to head. So that's pretty cool. And I think ARKit 10 or ARKit version 15 will be the thing that brings us, you know, Ready Player One functionality.
And I'm okay with that.
The same? Yeah. I mean, there's some social implications of that.
Well, we'll get that sorted out.
And that brings us to another part about iOS 12 that Apple's taking care of, is adding some of those ethical concepts to iOS, right? I mean, remember, we're very early on in the whole world of having smartphones, and we all realize that they're easily, like, they are so demanding of our attention that it's really easy to disengage even when we're sitting at a table with other humans eating, right? You can be detached. You can be engaged in the rest of the world and not really even think about it. These things are – it's way more distracting than television. And television can fully consume us as humans.
Yep.
Yep.
So you're talking about Insight.
Insight. Yeah.
And what I love about the Insight app – is that it's going to give us very detailed information about how we're using our iPhones and iPads. And it breaks down to how many minutes you're spending in each app. So you can actually see what it is that is literally consuming all your time.
I think it's great. The Screen Time app will show you that, but it can also let you set limits, right?
Right.
For yourself and also for your kids, if you have a family
sharing plan.
Yep. And I think it's thoughtful. It's interesting, right? Apple's selling these devices. And as Brian Chaffin pointed out in our live stream at liveblog.macobserver.com, it's very respectful for Apple to essentially be providing these tools for us to use our iPhones less.
Yes. And there are not many companies that would be brave enough or strong enough to say, you know, we've made this product we want you to use all the time, and now we're giving you tools to not use it all the time.
Yeah. Well, I remember talking to Andy Grignon, who was one of the original iPhone engineers on the first rev of the iPhone. And he says, you know, there are times and, you know, this is the thing that has set up his retirement and put him on the map and all of that stuff. It is a defining thing for him, for sure. And yet he says sometimes it, even still today, it makes him sick to be at a restaurant and see, you know, look around and see all these people at tables ignoring each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it, I mean, it's good that, and Andy doesn't work at Apple anymore, but obviously, you know, they're aware of this and they do these things to prevent, like the do not disturb while I'm sleeping thing.
I'm really pleased with that.
Yes. Which essentially does not, I was going to say it mutes. It doesn't mute them. It just does not show notifications.
It just suppresses.
Suppresses. That's a much better term. Yeah. Notifications. So that when you look at your phone to see the time, you're not, you know, being distracted and engaged by all of the notifications that might have appeared on your lock screen while you were snoozing.
Right, which has happened to me. I'm usually pretty good about being able to ignore that stuff, but if it's like 3 a.m. yeah. and I wake up and my screen is just a long list of notifications, even though they're probably totally pointless for me at 3 a.m, my attention level suddenly is higher. I'm not focused on sleeping anymore. Nope. Because it's like, oh geez, if there's that many messages, maybe something serious is happening.
Well, I call it the red dot dopamine rush.
Yes.
Must check. App has badge. Must check. You know, it's not good, but it's how it works.
This is why on the Mail app, I only have a handful of VIPs, and those are the only people that show up in my badge.
That's a good tip, you know, is to set up your VIP list in contacts and then only have VIPs show as your red dot. And that way, yeah, it limits that.
It's been great for me. Otherwise, I have just this crazy stupid number showing up all the time.
Right.
Hey, before we go on, I would love for us to talk about our sponsor today.
Perfect.
Jamf.
Yeah. So if you go to jamf.com/TDO, this is where you can set up your free Jamf account, which gets you 3 free devices for life. Trying to configure devices without any sort of mobile device management can take a surprising amount of time and effort. And there's a better way, and it starts with Jamf Now. And with Jamf Now, you can remotely, without being connected via wires.
Hence remotely.
Configure all the settings on your iPad, iPhone, and Mac very, very quickly and consistently. Jamf Now allows you to set up your Apple devices in minutes with all the apps and settings that you and your employees need to be productive, eliminating all those tedious steps and creating a truly streamlined experience. You can configure things like mail settings, wireless network settings, like I said, install apps. You can enforce passcodes and different levels of encryption. You can even remotely lock or wipe a device. Jamf Now ensures that you have all the security and configuration settings that you need so that your Apple devices and the information on them is protected. So like I said, manage your first 3 devices for free forever at Jamf Now. Sorry, with Jamf Now at JAMF.com/TDO. That's JAMF.com/TDO. And then after your first 3 devices, if you have more than 3 devices, I think that's the way to say it, it's just $2 a month for a device. So check them out. And our thanks to Jamf for being our sponsor of this episode, but also one of our WWDC 2018 coverage sponsors. They rock and you rock. So please go check them out. Yes, JAMF.com/TDO.
All right. So the look in your eyes right before I decided it was time for us to talk about Jamf Now told me there was something exciting that you wanted to say.
There's all kinds of exciting things. I don't know where to go from here. The watchOS stuff. I'm not. Were we done with iOS? I feel like we were done with iOS.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
We were done with iOS.
Yeah. So watchOS stuff. I don't know that I was all that blown away. The walkie-talkie feature in watchOS is cool. I mean, it's very Dick Tracy-ish.
And see, I was wondering how long it was going to be.
Yeah.
So for those of you that aren't old enough to get the Dick Tracy reference, it's also Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Right. Right. Oh, yeah. Also an older reference, though.
Yeah, it's also kind of Babylon 5. We're getting newer.
Slightly newer, yep. Kids are still asking their parents about all these things.
And after that, I got nothing.
Okay, Well, that's, now you have the Apple Watch with walkie-talkie app. And you kids, you can ask your parents what a walkie-talkie is, for that matter. Like, oh, I mean, yeah. Apple even used a reference that is not necessarily in the current vernacular.
Yeah, well, they also used complications. And unless you're into watches, yeah. I still have a lot of people that ask me, why would Apple choose to say that all the little things you add to your watch face make it complicated?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it is cool. And you know, the activity competitions that you can do. We have a family trip plan where we're going to all be in a couple of cities together this summer. And I thought, I wonder if I should, like, is it worth installing, you know, watchOS 5 beta in July? So the answer is no on all of my family's devices so that we can sort of compete with each other as we're all doing these walks around cities and that sort mm-hmm. of thing. Because that seems like fun.
It does.
Actually. At some level. Yeah. Yeah. Healthy competition. Like, quite literally, healthy competition.
I see what you did there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, was there anything in tvOS that caught your eye?
I like the zero sign-on thing that they're doing.
I like that, too.
It would be nice if I could believe that at some point in the not too distant future, Xfinity would be a part of this zero sign-on thing.
Well, we can't even get them to be part of single sign-on.
Correct. So, but with zero sign-on, what Apple's doing is they're saying, okay, look, if you're connected to, at this point, it's Charter Spectrum, right? But if you're connected to their network, they know what IP belongs to your account based on your cable modem. And therefore, they can map IP to TV features mm-hmm. and feed that back to your Apple TV and log you into all of the appropriate apps that you are, or services, I should say, that you are paying for with your Apple TV without having to do anything. So it totally makes sense. It's a little, sorry about that mic noise, folks. It's a little creepy from a privacy standpoint that this can be figured out. But it, again, it's not that creepy when you realize it's your cable company figuring it out.
Right. Yeah, they already know
they
what
already
channels
know.
You subscribe to.
Yes.
So they can just send that data back to the Apple TV.
That's it.
And now you're just logged into those apps.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, it's good.
All right. So we have about 3 minutes left.
Okay.
Which seems appropriate because in some ways, it almost felt like macOS was an afterthought, even though it wasn't.
I don't think it was. So macOS Mojave is officially the name.
Right.
Right. Well,
when they said that they were going down, my first thought was iOS West Hollywood. Or macOS West Hollywood.
Or macOS West Hollywood. That's good. Yeah. I like dark mode that they've added.
I'm very happy about dark mode.
To macOS. Very cool that they've added the news, stocks. Oh, now I got to.
There was the home app.
Home app, thank you, and voice memos.
Uh-huh.
Which are all iOS apps that have been either ported or simply installed on the Mac. They weren't entirely clear how much work needed to be done to those. But this is interesting that they've baked UIKit into macOS Mojave and presumably later to make it easier for iOS apps, some iOS apps, to run on the Mac.
And I'm going to play Brian Chaffin for just a minute. And
sure.
Get mildly pedantic. It's not running iOS apps on the Mac. It's running apps that were written for iOS and have been recompiled as Mac apps.
Correct. That's right. No, that is from a under the hood standpoint. That's right. But I think their point is a lot less friction to get from I wrote an iOS app to I now have that same app running on the Mac.
Yes.
And
that's a big thing.
And that's a big thing because there's a lot of iOS apps that would run fairly well, pretty much untouched on the Mac if you can map touches to mouse movements and that sort of thing. And a lot of apps that would work fine with. And so that can open up things quite a bit on the Mac, I think, which I think is a great idea.
I agree. And the only reason I went pedantic on that is because there are people that I'm sure are going to think that they're running native iOS apps on their Mac and want to know why they can't do touch interface.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited. I we need to find out, and maybe we have already found this out, but at the time that we're recording this, we don't know which Macs will run macOS Mojave. There is no reason, based on what we've seen thus far, that it could not be the same list of Macs that run Sierra and High Sierra.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that it is that same list.
Yeah, and I'm guessing, based on what we know right now, as of recording time, that Apple's not going to drop any Macs off the supported list this year.
I see no reason for them to, but if they weren't going to drop Macs off the supported list, I feel like they would have told us that, just like they did with iOS 12.
Okay.
Like, that's a marketing.
Yeah.
Right? There's a marketing message in there. Like, it's still supporting everything that we've done. Like, that's something, that's a feather in their marketing cap.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. And hopefully we can figure that out for you today.
Okay. So we're out of time. Before we go, how did you feel about the keynote overall?
It was long. It got a little drawn out, but I like the focus on software. I'm very eager to see the State of the Union, as I said, because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are some things coming in the State of the Union based on what a few little birdies flying around in San Jose were saying yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really eager to see that, because that'll give us some details. I always say the State of the Union helps us set our BS meters for you folks, so that when we see some third party say, oh, we're going to be able to do X, Y, or Z, we can say, actually, yes, that's possible based on the way that technology works. Or, no way, that's not how that works.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very eager to have my BS meter reset, or configured, I guess.
Yeah, calibrated.
Calibrated, there you go.
It needs to be calibrated. Yep. And I'm with you. I felt like the keynote was long, but overall, I was pleased with what Apple was showing us. And since I'm old school with WWDC, when they don't announce hardware, it doesn't bother me, because that's what I remember from so many years.
I agree with you. Yep. It's good stuff. Yeah.
Hey, we are out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. Dave, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Fun stuff.
This was loads of fun. And thank you to Jamf for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, Jamf Now. Well, Jamf Now is the product. We're going to the website, which is jamf.com/TDO.
That's right.
And get signed up so you can get your first three devices for free for managing. It's wonderful. You really want to do it. So thank you to Jamf. And listeners, thank you for being here. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.